Well, hello and good morning, everybody. It's Yvonne Silver, and I'm here today on the Words, Women, and Wisdom show with my beautiful guest, Michelle. Am I going to pronounce it right? Mink? Not Mink.
Mink, yeah.
Mink. There we go. So, welcome to the Words, Women, and Wisdom show. I'll give Michelle's formal introduction in just a moment. The beautiful thing about the Words, Women, and Wisdom show is I get an opportunity to interview some amazing women, really interesting stories, women who have risen from tragedy to triumph, chaos to confidence very often. And that's what this show is all about. It's about showcasing the amazing resilience of women in business and women entrepreneurs, professional women in a variety of different professions and different stages of life. So I'm delighted today that Michelle could join me. Michelle's actually here in Calgary as well, and we're right in the middle of celebrating the 10 days of craziness in Calgary, the Calgary Stampede. Good morning, Michelle.
Morning. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. It's a crazy busy time, and I know that you've done an awful lot of different things in your life. And one of them is to sing at the Calgary Stampede. So even before we get into talking too much about the actual beautiful work that you do, for those who haven't met Michelle, Michelle is described as being a true Renaissance woman. So she's bringing a new energy, a new focus into opera, and herself constantly pushing her own limits as well as the limits of her opera company, and bringing years and years of top training, international experiences to the stage. I've seen her sing several times. She's got this boundless vitality, super powerful voice, and really does light up the room. Even when it's not a room, you and I were both at the Calgary, one of the Calgary 107 events, and it was a Christmas performance, and you just lit up that area by your beautiful singing. You also have workshops and other performances and different presentations, private presentations that you offer as well, and trained through the Royal Academy of Music in London, England. Yay, London, England, my hometown. You've performed in a variety of opera houses across the globe, in Europe, in the US, and here in Canada, obviously, before starting your own opera company, which we'll talk a lot more about. And it's really intriguing to watch what's happened along your journey. So I'm going to just play, for those of you who have never heard Michelle, I'm just going to play a little bit of a couple of songs, one now, and then I'll do another one at the end. This first one is actually not opera, but I loved it. So here we go.
Has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light you see. I won't cry, I won't cry, no, I
won't. You want to sing, ready, Mom?
Just as long
Beautiful.
as you stand by me. Oh, darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Stand by me.
Oh, I could listen to that all day. However, we have a story to share. So just refresh me, when you're not working, you're a mom as well, right?
I am, yeah, I got a busy 3-year-old boy.
3-year-old, okay. Well, that definitely is a busy time of life.
Yeah.
So let's start and tell me more about how did this fascination with music and especially opera get started for you? Where does it all come from? Tell me the story.
Yeah, I think I was, and that's one of the first questions people ask me, like, how did you even know you could do that, or how did you get started in that? And I was like so many of my colleagues, you know, I was always singing around the house as a child. And I was like a, you know, they're born in entertainer in the house when they'd have guests over. They're, oh, Michelle, sing something. And I always enjoyed singing. But I didn't really take it seriously until high school. I actually didn't excel in school. I was way too much of a daydreamer. And it was, yeah, not really present. I got things popping up on my screen here. And but I joined the high school choir to get some extra credits. I wasn't doing great. I knew I was graduating. I didn't know what I wanted to go into, but I thought I had to boost my marks a bit. So I joined the choir. And there was a couple of teachers, Mike Gardner and Mike Shields, who really heard a difference in me. And Mike Shields in particular called me out of the choir one day and said, you know, hey, why don't you come and just do some scales with me after class? And I was like, oh man, he hears me, like I'm, you know, my voice is too wild and maybe I sound really horrible. And, you know, we kept going up and up and higher, higher up the scale. And with him, with that one person, that just proves the power of the difference of one person. He said, you know, Michelle, I think you need to like take lessons and that you should pursue this. I think you're meant to sing. And with that, I had my wonderful first teacher, Heather Rehori is her name. And I went into the world of classical music, which I never actually felt inspired or had ever listened to besides Phantom of the Opera, you know, singing along to those cassettes back in the 90s. But I didn't really understand what my path was going to be like. And I remember being in the backstage of Calgary Opera in the wings in their chorus and watching the lead beautiful sopranos and being like, wow, I wonder if I could do that one day. So it took me to an adventure, a whirlwind of new music, understanding the power of my voice, using full breath and energy within myself that I was so light lit up about and so excited to do. So it took me on a whirlwind, you know, training, you know, in Toronto for quite a few years and then London as well. And yeah, that's kind of how I got started.
Wow. So this was all obviously well before you had your son. What's his name, by the way?
Max.
Max, okay. Yeah. So before Max. So the ability to run an opera company, tell me more and tell the listeners more, because not everybody in my circle, in my community, this is a broadcast worldwide. It's potentially syndicated to 98 other stations, including iHeart and iTunes. So not everyone knows Calgary. So just tell us a little bit about the opera company that you founded.
Sure. So I, you know, I'm a born and raised Calgarian. I was born on the first day of Stampede, 1981, and really was always addicted to the culture and the spirit that our city has during that time. And when I was living back in Toronto and, you know, kind of had studied elsewhere and was doing programs throughout and singing throughout, you know, Europe and that kind of thing, I really realized it wasn't the lifestyle for me. I knew that I wanted to have a family. I knew that I missed my own family in Calgary. And I was wondering, you know, like, how am I going to keep singing now? I've been doing this for 15 years. I spent all this money honing my craft. What now what? And I knew at the same time, a couple of colleagues of mine had also moved back to Calgary and also were looking for some similar stability. And I said, you know, I'm going to start an opera company. And Calgary Opera has been extremely supportive of me throughout the years. And I went to them and I'm like, I got this crazy idea. And one of my mentors, Bob McKee, Order of Canada, and a wonderful mentor to me, was like, good luck, okay. and within that, I was like, you know, well, what am I going to call it? Is it going to be, you know, concert opera? Is it going to be scenes? Is it going to be, you know, what? How can I be different than Calgary Opera? And I was living in my parents' basement. It was kind of a dark time. I was like, you know, am I going to be some crazy voice teacher that's just going to teach little kids ABCs and, you know, have 50 cats or something like that? And I'm living in my parents' basement. And I remember, you know, like, what if opera could be fun? What if we could sing it in English? And what if it was like, I don't know, you know, Cowtown? And as soon as I said the words Cowtown out of my mouth, I almost felt throughout my whole body like, ding, like, that's it. And I knew in that second that I was onto something. So within that, I established in 2011 Cowtown Opera, where we are making opera accessible. We are breaking barriers in stereotypes and what people perceive opera to be. So we ask people, wear your jeans, drink beer during our shows, and we put modern twists on things. You know, our last show we just had about online dating and, you know, going through like, you know, Tinder to find that love of your life. So it's really taking out a lot of the heaviness of opera and making it light and really accessible to the modern age. So, and we also reconstruct some of the hits. So the songs that people recognize off Bugs Bunny and spaghetti commercials, you know, we do those shows and then put a kind of a fun twist on it. And, you know, we've gotten national attention. It's been amazing. We've even toured throughout the country. People are excited about what we're doing because, you know, the music is amazing, you know, but I feel like we do still have a lot of barriers to cross and a lot of stigma to, to win over.
Mm. Well, I totally appreciate what you're saying there. And I love what you're doing with this because, you know, as I grew up in England, you know, quite a few of the listeners have, you know, heard my story of, you know, why I do the work that I do, helping other women to showcase their stories, but really looking at that, you know, that rise, that journey from something that wasn't great to something that is to be celebrated. My dad came back from the war. He got a bullet in Dunkirk, Second World War, and the outcome of that was PTSD, and he was just plain angry. He was upset. He was mean. I mean, thousands of men were coming back from the war, and they didn't get treated. And one of the ways that he could calm his mind was with opera. And so he would sit and listen for hours to opera. And at the time, I just didn't get it. And then I had a boyfriend, I was 19, who took me to an opera. And it was Gilbert and Sullivan. And it didn't resonate for me. So the fact that you've translated this into something that is fresh and modern and a great way to bring celebration to the beauty of it, but with a whole new twist, is really fabulous. Even the other day, I was watching tail end of Pretty Woman. We have company out of town for the Stampede. And the
classic
piece
opera. Yes, Traviata.
He takes her to the opera, yeah, and she falls in love with it. But nobody understands what they're singing. Right. And Richard Gere says, oh, you won't understand it, but you'll feel it. You know, people either love it.
That's exactly it. You know, we've thought about, you know, do we expand? Do we go to bigger buildings? But what we really realize also about our performances is that, you know, if there's only 120 seats in our theater, so people can, like, you can feel it in a different way. And it is almost more of an experience than just watching something. You can actually feel vibration in your body and really that communication from one artist to the audience.
Yeah, which totally makes sense.
Yeah.
It's and I think that in today's economy, it's not just about being the, you know, the cheapest option or the most, you know, it's about the whole experience, it's about the whole package.
People don't want to go out. You know, they'd rather stay at home and watch Netflix. Like, for people to leave their homes, it's got to be really good.
And it sounds really amazing. So kudos for the work that you're doing in that regard and your original twist that you're bringing to it. I'm just going to take a moment here because we do have you singing as well some more traditional music. It's on your website, Michelle Mink. com, and there's a Carmen remix. Just going to play a little bit of that. So if you'd like to listen to the end of this, you can hop over to Michelle's website. There's a button, a tab called Listen, and there's several different examples of her work because Michelle does do amazing concerts and also is available for private hire. So if you have a fantastic event that you'd like some really classy elegance to be brought to, Michelle is definitely, as you saw from the picture I posted advertising this event, Michelle is your gal. You just have to book up. So putting Motown Opera together, I'm sure that you had a few, as my colleague Monica Kretschmer, Women of Inspiration Awards, and you won a Women of Inspiration Award, as did I, last year. You were the cultural ambassador, correct? Yeah. As she says, the naysayers, I mean, we always have people in our life who are our staunch supporters, and somewhere along the line, there's always somebody that wants to cast doubt. So was it an easy journey starting Cowtown Opera?
No way. Oh my gosh. I look back and I don't know if my skin is as thick and as tough as it was back then. That's for sure. You know, for me, it was really, there's a lot of indie opera companies that are popping up throughout Canada. And I take pride in knowing that 8 years ago, I was one of the first. And to be outside the box at that time was extremely difficult, especially in a very pretty conservative city like Calgary. And even some of my colleagues, you know, that were, have been my best friends for years, you know, were really discouraging and hurtful at the beginning. You know, like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm not going to go and be a part of this crazy dream of yours. Like, no thanks. I'm not going to put my, you know, my reputation down the toilet for your, you know, on a whim of like an idea of yours. And as well as like, you know, there's a lot of traditionalists in the classical world, you know, people that really believe we have to respect our heritage and where it's come from. But my idea is always like, where is it going? And for me, even people within my industry, I remember one sentence I really loved was that I was bastardizing our art form. So, you know, there was a lot of, yeah, really like harsh words said about me. And a lot of people also just being like, you know, you're biting off more than you can chew. Like, let's see if you survive the year kind of thing. So, I mean, I worked like I never had. I was single. I didn't have kids. And, you know, I was like many entrepreneurs, many women, like, you know, working probably 18, 19 hours a day to try and like make sure that I'm going to prove these people wrong. And that was kind of the fire within me. Like, I'm going to show you. So, yeah.
Well, I understand that fire. My dad, who I mentioned, you know, he actually decided, I was 16 at the time, that he decided to kick me out of the house because according to him, you know, I was either out gallivanting around, aka having fun and being adventurous, or I was in the house under his feet. And it was, there's no pleasing him. And again, you know, I know that reflecting back, at the time I thought he was just really super mean, but reflecting back, you know, he's one of these thousands of men that, you know, hundreds of thousands of men that came back from the war traumatized and they just didn't treat them. And certainly was not very supportive of some of my adventures and some of my visions. And it does take this inner spark to really create something beautiful. And sometimes it originates from that place, as you said, I'm going to prove you wrong. And I did the same thing. I mean, he, at age 11, I'm just going into high school. He received my marks for, you know, I'm supposed to take this one exam that they don't do in England anymore because it's ridiculous. But at the time, you had to take an exam at age 11 and you either went to the grammar school where the smart kids went or you went to the
school
where the smart kids went.
Oh, dear. Oh,
and I flunked it by 2 marks. And my eldest sister, 3 years older, was already in grammar school. So he was furious and screamed at me, you know, you'll never ever be successful in life. And I set out, just like you did, I set out, I was so upset initially, and then I got mad, right? You go through that shock, anger, denial phase. And I was like, I'm going to damn well prove you wrong. And I carried that energy with me for about, 40 years before I realized it wasn't actually the energy that I needed to bring out my best gifts to the world. So I respect what you're saying with how it gets started. I bet it's exaggerated though and grown much more from a place of beauty as you've evolved and found your gifts.
Well, then, you know, I think what's amazing too is that you find out who your people are. You know, the one woman who, you know, was really at my side for all of this, Carrie Kalmykoff, she was a huge mentor and an inspiration for me. One of my best friends as well. And it's, you know those people that believe in you 110%, you know, and are just like, have your back at every decision, you know, they help you along the way. And she's still that person for me, you know, so within that, you know, that craziness and that loneliness of, you know, that like late night hours working on your laptop, you know, that it really is noticeable, like those people that are really your lights also in the journey that help you along the way as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you know as well, I mean, I'm a huge fan of the topic of mentorship, the process. Having chaired several different mentorship programs, designed, managed, and that was what, when I won my Women of Inspiration Award last year, it was for the mentorship work that I've been doing.
Yeah, and, it's crucial, crucial.
Yeah, I mean, I saw in one of my first programs working with BPW, British Business and Professional Women's Club. I was asked to chair their program, and at the time we ended up having, the first year we had 14 pairs in that group. And it was amazing to see what happened when women had the support of another woman. And mm-hmm. I think the beauty, what I've learned in particular, the beauty of mentorship is when you're the protege and you're the less experienced person, you don't even know what questions to ask, let alone, right?
So true.
It's great when you know what.
Well, and today, I mean, even today, I'm always, asking advice from, people that I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm super inspired by them. Like, can you have coffee with me and just like speak to me? Like, just fill me up. It only matters how successful you are, but I think it's that we always have to be learning, and we always have to be finding that inspiration and new tools and new ways of thinking about things.
Yeah. Well, it's I believe women are very much like plants. We're either growing or dying. And if we have a mentor or several mentors, I mean, I encourage my clients as a professional coach, I encourage my clients to have more than one mentor. Have one that's a female role model or someone you respect and admire, and also have a champion. And very often your sponsor or your champion is, two or three levels up in the organization from where you currently are, or in the community, in a role that you would love to attain at some point, and you're getting both perspectives of, here's how women would do it, and here's how a man might approach it, and here's an ultimate way that you can, leverage networking on the golf course in order to achieve it. So I'm so glad that you did persevere and turned this idea into such a wonderful experience. And I would imagine along the way that as you evolved as a leader, because back in when you started Cowtown, you would have been 20-something, right?
I think it was just 30. So I'm 38 now. So we're going into our ninth season. So yeah.
Yeah. So, that's still a fairly young age to be an inspiring leader. And I imagine you're working again with, you want to have seasoned artists and don't necessarily have people that are all younger than you. You probably had a number of people that are bringing years and years and years of experience. So as you evolved as a leader, tell me a little bit about that journey. Was that an easy one?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I think that was one of my, and still is one of my struggles as well. As in being, I kind of selfishly, and I tell my company and my singers that I started Cowtown to sing myself. Like, I really wanted to make sure I was making opportunities so that I could still do it. And, throughout the years, it's really become more about a passion project to just develop other artists and to encourage and to inspire and create opportunities for them. But along that way is many colleagues that are, at least at my level or more advanced singers than I am, have more impressive resumes, are older than I am. And that's been challenging too, because, how do I not doubt myself in my decision-making? How do I make sure that my artists feel respected and treated fairly when I myself at times still feel awkward about, age gaps, or even, that I'm hiring people that have had, even more experience than I have. Why am I allowed that position? It comes into that self-esteem, self-worth aspect of leadership as well. And for me, we also have a summer program called the Cowtown Opera Summer Academy that I founded even before the company, where we train 25 young singers across the country. With top training, I bring in, we bring in wonderful people. I've got a new artistic director for that now. And for me, it was so easy to lead and try to influence the next generation. This is what you need to expect in the arts. These are the opportunities. This is the kind of personality you're going to have to do to survive. And So for me, it was always easier to inspire the younger, but, you know, being a leader with other women my own age, with similar credentials has always been, you know, very challenging.
So what do you think are maybe, you know, two or three things that you could share with other up and coming female leaders that really helped you to blossom and step into that leadership role?
I think for me that I kind of have like a catalog in my mind of the most impressive things that I've done that I know that only Michelle Mink could have done, you know, and that that's what set me apart from other people. So for me, you know, it's just like, oh, they got that gig. Well, that's actually, you know, that was a better gig than I've ever had. Or, you know, so why, how come I'm judging their talent and seeing where they fit in my company? I think back to, you know, some of my other accomplishments and just kind of having those list of five things on my hand that always bring me back to like my success. You know, this is what makes me who I am and why I'm in this position. You know, I think it's really important that we remind ourselves like why you are who you are in that moment. And so having those couple of like little things that always make you feel good and remind you of who you are and what you've accomplished. For me, I think that I really need sounding boards. You know, before I respond to emails that might come across as aggressive, assertive, and are really me being defensive and feeling threatened in some way, that I have a sounding board of people, like, you know, two or three people that I'll send that email to as a draft and be like, does this come across bad, you know, badly? And they're like, yes. So, like, that even for me as a leader, that I'm almost monitored by people that I trust sometimes, because I feel like when you were really passionate about something, that it can come across as really, you know, too strong or come across the wrong way. And that's something that I've really had to learn, because it's easy for me to, yeah, to go there. But I feel, and for me too, just having an amazing partner in this journey. You know, my husband, Dean, is just, he works with the Autism Asperger's Friendship Society. So he develops like social programs and dynamic, like how to create relationships and how do you go to a cooking club and create a movie with other guys your age, creating really about lifestyle and development. So his heart is made of pure gold. He has a passion to just love families and love and let every voice be heard. So for me, I remember when we first met, he said, you know, I didn't want a dramatic person. You know, that was one of his, I don't want that list. And so I'm definitely the more dramatic out of the two of us, and making sure that, you know, that he's beside me in my decision-making and what I'm doing has been really spectacular too. So I feel very blessed that way.
Well, I think that's absolutely one of the keys when I'm speaking with other women who are doing amazing things, is, you know, being rock solid in their support system, whether that is a group of like-minded individuals. You know, I'm a member of, for example, of the Evolutionary Business Council, which is a global group of phenomenal, socially conscious and very aware speakers, authors, trainers, transformational agents. And that has been an incredible group to be a part of. You know, everybody has doubts once in a while about what it is they're doing and whether they're ready to step into the limelight. That's been an amazing support system for me too. As well as, again, you know, hubby being supportive means so much. And I see on your website that it's under the, let's see, which tab are we under? I think it's under Listen again, that you also developed a little bit of fun opera for kids, Mink's opera music, sing along with this fun version of opera hits for kids. So again, as you said, it's really valuable to periodically, whether it's, you know, once a month, to have a space set in your calendar for your own reflection time. I'm a big, you know, daily meditation fan. But certainly once a month to go back and to say, okay, what is it that I accomplished based on my own unique skills, interests, passions, abilities, values? You know, what have I done? And as you mentioned, you know, why could only Michelle Mink do this? And to have a brag file as well. So when you're getting those external kudos, to start putting those into some sort of file, electronic or paper, so that when you're having those moments of doubt, you can go back and say, no, look at all the fabulous things that other people see in me that today I might not see in myself, and have that file handy. Because if you don't have it handy, then, you know, you can't think about it when you're already down, right?
Exactly, yeah.
I used to encourage, when I was working in the corporate world, which I did for 15, 20 years as well, as an HR director, I used to encourage some of the staff to, you know, make this list up of all the things that you absolutely love to do, the things that lift you up, but do it when you're in a positive state of mind. Because if you don't have that list ready when you need it, you won't be able to create it then. So do it when you're in that space of celebration, of expansion and positive energy. And I put that in my book too. You know of my book, Words, Women and Wisdom. I'm not sure if you have a copy or not, but.
I do, yes.
You do, okay. So it's a great opportunity. I mean, the book took about 2 years to write, but it was a great opportunity to put down on paper a lot of the concepts that I've already found working with my female clients over the past 10 years in coaching, that are the ones that really make a difference. Simple, easy to do. Sometimes it's a one word change, you know, should to could. It has a whole different energy that goes from, you know, should is obligation and negative sort of downplayed energy, and could is an energy of possibility and uplifting and open. And just that subtle shift of one word sometimes can make a massive difference. So that's what I wrote the book about. Actually, I'm just going to play, I have a video on my website. So you're not going to necessarily be able to see the video, but at least you'll be able to listen to the pieces of it. Or can I do this? Let's see. Let's see if I can share my screen here. Yeah, I'll play the actual video here. There we go.
Ladies, a new book is on the horizon. Words, Women, and Wisdom, the Modern Art of Confident Conversations. This new book is for women ready to rediscover their inner confidence, take a stand for themselves in life and business by using more powerful language. Words are so powerful and have already changed history. On October 5th, the New York Times published a story detailing decades of allegations of sexual harassment against film producer Harvey Weinstein. And numerous women in the entertainment industry found the courage to go public, banding together with a powerful voice that change is long overdue. Even Oprah Winfrey, television network icon, gave a rousing speech at the Golden Globe Awards in January. The media has showcased the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. The Me Too movement is flourishing and all signaling it's time for women's equality and change. I believe it's time to give women the verbal agility to create more confident conversations. Words, Women, and Wisdom, the Modern Art of Confident Conversations, is the book which provides practical approaches for women to ask for what we really want and receive our request.
Hello, I'm Yvonne Silver, certified executive coach and senior HR professional, seasoned in business. I teach women to flourish in business by using more confident language to help empower and engage others. This book is the result of over 35 years of my career, professional career, working in 4 different countries. I've interviewed over 6,000 people in my career for job interviews, executive coaching, for sales and consulting conversations. And I've listened to hundreds of women in particular who are looking for a better way to collaborate. They're looking to be asking for what they really want and heard and validated, especially in business. And women often earn less than men for doing exactly the same job. It's 2018. It's time for change. The modern art of confident conversations explores words we use at home, at work, words that trip us up, elevate us, and encourage us, and when no words are even required. It is about how to leverage the power of words in a positive, in a collaborative and impactful way. Now I work with women entrepreneurs and leaders who are empowering other women and leading through mentorship programs and my coaching, public speaking, interviews, and writing. I'm passionate about women's equality. Why? I grew up in England in a house with a flow of negative comments from my father, which destroyed my mum's dignity until she became an empty shell of the vibrant woman she had once been, belittled by constant criticism and questioning of her abilities. Through my own life journey and supporting hundreds of female clients, I've discovered critical words to ask to get what we really want collaboratively. I know there are critical links between our language, our behavior, our mindset, and our success in life. Words from a song can replay in our head for hours, and poetry can bring a lump in our throats. I've combined my insights with interviews from influential women, sharing their pearls of wisdom, supplemented with research and reference studies from established scholars. Women are rising up. It's time for women to be heard. Let's use more powerful, positive language and join the rising tide of change. This book is for you, a woman looking to the future, ready to embrace significant positive changes in your life by using more confident language. Eliminate those words that drain your power. Add words that energize and invigorate and shift from ordinary to extraordinary. Just one word can change your life. I believe every woman needs their own copy of this powerful book. It's time for action and time for change. Order and reserve your own copy of Words, Women, and Wisdom today.
Awesome. Yeah, stop that. Obviously, that was the 2018 video that was put together for the launch, working with Sergey. I think you know Sergey. Beautiful man.
Okay, yeah.
Amazing videos together. The book was launched on November 1st. November 2nd, it hit bestseller status. So, yay! Thank you to all of the amazing women who purchased a copy that day. And it's continued to be something that I'm extremely proud to share, and my commitment. I know that you have a social enterprise heart as well and are doing amazing things in the community. My commitment was for every copy that's purchased, I'm donating a copy to a women's shelter foundation or not-for-profit. So nothing more heartwarming than giving a stack of books away. I did that at the Nest Foundation conference, yeah. Lead with Purpose conference a few weeks ago. And that was raising money in support of women who are rebuilding, who are gone through some sort of trauma in their life and are rebuilding. And great programs are going to be coming from that Nest Foundation work as well. So for yourself, as a leader, I know that there are things that, you know, happen in life that sometimes can knock us off course. So tell me a little bit about, you know, some of the things that have happened for you. I know you mentioned a couple of things before we started our recording that, have been, you know, female big things in life that take a lot of energy and could very easily derail, but you walked through those things. So tell me more about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, and still, you know, that it was very different for me being an entrepreneur before I got married versus when I got married. Like my perspective and my priorities absolutely shifted. And I don't think it's positive or negative, but I just remember, you know, I really see myself as being a very different, the way that I was driven was very, very much different than before I got married to my wonderful husband. And for me, becoming a mother was a lot of, you know, changes. There wasn't the time that I, you know, so selfishly and beautifully had to develop my creative ideas and to take the risks that I did. So I was like, you know, how am I going to do that as a mother? And that's what inspired my kids' album, which is really fun. You know, we were dealing with potty training and, you know, spaghetti on the wall at the time. And, you know, I'm going to sing about it. It's going to make me feel better if I just get it out in music. And I feel like for me, these little passion projects come from the stages of life that I'm in. You know, and for me, you know, like having my son, who's just, I'm crazy in love with, it's been the most beautiful gift to me. I love being a mother. Is that, you know, for me that I did have postpartum, like so many of us, you know, I think that there's kind of even stigma around that, like, oh, she had postpartum. But I'm like, I think all women on some degree after having a child create, you know, have this huge amount of, whoa, what is my life become? Who am I? How am I ever going to feel like me again? You know, there's just those issues are so heavy on our shoulders, and you don't even realize it's happening in the moment. So for me, I really went through like a couple, you know, really dark years of actually feeling very grateful, very loving, still feeling very present for my child, but just struggling as an entrepreneur, struggling as a woman. Like, why don't I have the same drive? You know, like why have I gained all this weight? Why can't I just go and work out like I used to? And really battling with some of those mental health issues, you know, and being a mother and trying to be it all, trying to be a successful singer, trying to run a company, trying to be a wonderful wife, and trying to be this loving mother. It just felt really, really full. And then for me and my husband, you know, we had a miscarriage, which really threw a wrench in it for me. You know, it's still been like 2.5 years, and I'm still, my heart's still so tender. It was just a very, very hard chapter for us. And for me, it was more about being a woman than being anything else. It was really that kind of questioning of like, am I able to do what I'm meant to do? You know, like am I able to have another child? Am I worthy enough to have another child? Or, you know, am I not healthy enough? And all those things that women question when that happens, which is so common. And women don't talk about it. They do not talk about the darkness of those times. So yeah, so for me, I feel like I'm, you know, just getting on the other side of it. You know, for me, the ones flying in the Calgary Stampede Grandstand show in 2013, that fiery, like, you know, go get them, you know, that girl was really gone. And I really felt that for the first time after this tragedy. And so for me, it's like, now who am I now? So for the last, you know, year, I've really been seeking spiritual wellness. And also, you know, like, are there new ways that I can be thinking about singing and coaching people? Are there new ways that I can find joy in a healthy lifestyle? You know, are there, you know, just really kind of seeking right now, you know, I've been working with a lot of really beautiful mentors and learning different aspects of myself and learning new tools. And that's kind of what's taking me out of the haze. Mm. But, you know, having, especially as a performer, having to turn it on, and, you know, like, ta-da, I'm here, everyone. Having to do that in the midst of darkness is, you know, one of the greatest struggles I think that women as entrepreneurs face. Because, you know, I think just the way that we're made as men and women, that men are so much easier to, like, turn that off and, you know, still get her done. When women, we are emotional, we're sensitive, we long for connection, we're vulnerable, there's all that beautiful parts of us that are exposed and that make it harder in the business world and make it harder to lead a company in those moments. Mm. So just a lot of questioning, a lot of seeking. And I feel like, you know, I'm really starting to find the answers now, but you know, it's definitely difficult and challenging in those moments. And my heart's with all those women out there who might be listening that mm. I'm with you. I hear you. I know what you know.
Well, as you're speaking there, and, you know, thank you for sharing so vulnerably from the heart. That is, you know, certainly one of the most challenging things I can imagine going through in life. You know, I have a son too. He's 24 now. He's a special needs child. And, you know, he's been going through some...
He's lovely.
Yeah, he is lovely. His artwork is lovely. Yeah. You know, he's been going through some stuff recently, which... it's not an unfinished journey yet. And it's funny when I listen to people and they say, oh, you know, I heard your son was, you know, something was, your son is sick right now. And, you know, speedy recovery. Well, it's, you know, it's not like that. We don't just sort of heal, right? So that's an ongoing journey, and really causes you to dig deep. And as you said, you know, it's amazing how some of the friendships that you have really, you know, have been tremendous throughout this amazing, you know, experience of understanding more about him, and also understanding who I need to be as a mom and a businesswoman, you know, riding through it. So the I think one of the most important things that we can do as women entrepreneurs is get super, super clear on how do we even measure success. You know,
right.
For you, I mean, you've done this evolution. It's not about, you know, driving, because now that, you know, you've kind of launched the rocket is already up. Now it's the case of saying, okay, so now that we're up here, you know, what beautiful things can we see? Can we look, you know, look around at the world and say, oh, there's an empty pocket there. There's an empty space that we could fill with even more joy. And how can I leverage my passions and talents and the things that excite me and also rejuvenate others to bring to the world? What does, you know, what does the world need now? And without that, as you say, that spiritual space, if we have no space, as I talk about in my book, it's like having a jam-packed closet where everything is so tightly packed in there, you can't even see what clothes you have to wear. And it's time to start, you know, taking out things that don't support you anymore, that, you know, in the place of clothes, as you mentioned, with, you know, weight management. I mean, things that don't fit anymore, the style doesn't work, you know, doesn't cover the tummy bulge or whatever it is. It's time periodically to recognize that that decluttering is super important and creates space for new energy to rush in. And one of my friends refers to that as the vacuum. I was on a call with another soprano, actually, Christine Powers, down in the Adirondack Mountains. You might want to listen to that one sometime if you didn't have that recording interview. And Daniel Gutierrez, a global speaker. And they were talking about the power of the vacuum. And again, it's a similar concept. When you create space, you have more opportunity and more possibility that shows up because there's room for it to breathe. And the other thing I very often will ask of my clients is, you know, to remember that ultimately three little letters, joy, is, you know, is such a key piece. I mean, we're here to experience joy, to bring joy to others, but recognizing what is it that lights you up? What is it that you feel joyful
about? And you're actually, what I love about the word joy, and, you know, that actually what we kind of incorporated into some of our ideas about Cowtown Opera lately, there was, we just did this last show, and a woman came up to us in the lobby and said, you know, this show is just like, you know, it's so silly. And we said, it is silly. And she said, but do you know what the meaning of silly, like, do you know what silly means? And we said, well, what? And she said, it means joy. That when people experience that youthful, like, just silliness, that there also is that lightning and that embodiment of joy. And so even when she said that to me, I'm just like, you know, that's kind of how I feel when I'm rolling around with accents and, you know, being so silly with my son and we're goofing around and, you know, we're playing and I feel silly, but it creates this joy in my heart. And, and that's kind of why I love that word too. It's like that in that enlightenment, that feeling that you get in your heart of what joy can be.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that's, again, it's one of the words in my book, you know, how can you infuse it into other things? How can you pay attention to what brings you joy, what lights you up? As a coach, when I'm working a lot with new clients, very often, you know, whether they're professionals or whether they're entrepreneurs, always coming back to the same things, you know, what are your skills, your interests, your passions, your values, where all these things all knit together? You know, what is it that is the essence of you, and try to sum it up in three or four words so that the world can understand who you are and what special, unique gifts you're bringing. And clearly you have found those special gifts and you are excelling in your craft and now bringing in others in your organization through your artistic director work to really bring together a performance and an experience. And I thank you for that. I had also been listening as you were talking about leadership and, you know, I think it's important to recognize, you know, what are those skills and competences that I can bring? And as a woman, when you were sharing some of the gifts, you know, the essential pieces of being a mother, being a wife, being that empathetic self, those are some of the things that I have an event coming up on July 25th, which we're going to be exploring. It's how bold women leaders foster innovation power for business sustainability. And it's going to be another session. I've already hosted one of these, looking at some of the research around what are some of the characteristics that women can bring to engaging staff that we do it differently than men. And what are some of the statistics that show that that actually does translate into profits? Because when we have engaged enough,
whatever is seen as like being a negative is actually maybe the most amazing positive. Absolutely. Stereotypes saying, you know, oh, they're gonna cry or whatever. What if that actually is a huge attribute to
it? Is
people? Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's that as a leader, it's that, you know, it's knowing when to be vulnerable and how much vulnerability you're willing to share so that your staff feel the connection, but they don't feel a lack of confidence in your leadership ability. So that's the morning session. I have Sandeep Lally, the CEO and president for the Calgary Chamber, coming to speak at that event. So that's lovely. That's on July 25th. More details about that on my website. And I think it's really important overall that we celebrate our female characteristics as leaders, and certainly how we can bring that into our work for more success, more joy, more sharing, and living life to the full, which you clearly are doing and bringing so much joy to others through your work. So thank you for all that you're doing for the community. It's beautiful, beautiful gift. So as I encourage each of you to have a look at Michelle's website, Michelle Minke, MINKE.com, and have a look and see what shows are coming up. Now, Michelle, I know sometimes my guests have a special offer or a gift or something that they would like to share with the audience. Is there anything in particular that you wanted to share and bring attention to that you're offering to our listeners at this time?
I don't know. I don't think I really gave that any thought. I don't know if I can think about that on the spot. This summer, I'm doing a lot of corporate gigs, and then I'm gonna turn my phone off a whole bunch. So this frame of mind this summer yet, but if I think of something, I'll let you know. If there's like, you know, a giveaway that I can give or something like that, I'll let you know.
Okay, well, for now, as I said, I encourage you to check out Michelle's website. There's a lot of information about her as a professional artist and soprano, also about the shows and things that are coming up with Cowtown Opera. And I think that if you haven't experienced Michelle yet, truly you're missing out. So I encourage you to do that. So thank you to my beautiful guest, Michelle Minke, today for sharing some of her heart and her work and her soul, and showcasing again that when women bring our full self to our work, it's amazing what we can achieve and how we can share that with the world. So thank you so much, Michelle.
Thank you for having me, Yvonne. What a lovely time. Thank you.
Have a wonderful day, Michelle, and we're just going to play some music as we finish up and wrap up and lead out from this interview. Have a great day.